Well, hello, everyone. I am Dani Kilgore. I serve as the lead pastor here at Church Without Walls, Berkeley. And it is my honor and pleasure to be able to welcome you all. Whether you are a first-time guest, you've come a few times, or you call this place your home and you have called it your place of home since the beginning of time, I say welcome. Yeah, it's okay. Well, you know, I can't. After last week, I have now embraced my seasonedness, I'm going to say. I'm seasoned now as I step into the 40s. Yes, yes. I'm seasoned and I love it. People call me, yes, ma'am. And I say, yes, that's what you should say. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm, yes, I embrace it. But I welcome you all. We are continuing our sermon series called Bless, where we are. Wait, hold on just a second. I just realized I am on the wrong sermon. I was like, no, that's not what we're preaching today. I'm so sorry. We are continuing our sermon series called Bless, which is our way of reaching out and giving all the people that we know a glimpse of what it means to experience God and know who He is. You know, the past 2 weeks, we heard two members of the preaching team share the first two acronyms, BLESS being an acronym that stands for first, begin with prayer. And our sister Loretta was able to begin with prayer and helping us to understand that even in our lack of understanding, our anxieties, our doubts around what does it mean to be intentional about our evangelism, we are called to first to pray. And then last week, our sister, who's our ministry, our children's ministry director, Deborah, we learned about L, which stands for listen with care. And it means that even as we are sharing the good news about our story, God is actually inviting us to listen. Evangelism takes place when we listen to one another and we hear our stories and we share life together. And so we are called to first listen to God, and then also to one another. And so today I'm going to continue in our story and continue in our series where we're going to talk about the letter E, which is eating together. All right, eating together. We're going to take a look at what does it mean to follow God as we break bread with one another. So if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And if you have your Bible with you, I'm going to invite you to open it up, whether it's on your phone, if you have a paper Bible, but also as it is, we will have it on the screens as well. Acts chapter 2, Apostle Peter wrote this book, and the chapter 2 describes the creation of Jesus's church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 starts off and it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. In verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of God. Will and our friends Brendan and Tinley and I have a tradition. After sharing our, emotions around our lack and desire for Valentine's Day, we didn't really like it. We decided one year to go out and share it together. Family, it was a time like no other. And I don't mean that in a good way. The restaurant that we had reserved 2 months prior was overbooked. So we had to wait 2 hours for our seat. And when we sat, and we had finally got our seats. We weren't able to sit in the restaurant inside where there was live music and dancing. No, they sat us on the patio that the heaters had went out on. They ran out of dinnerware, and so they served us our champagne in paper cups. And then the food. we were excited about the food, but they ran out of the food that we wanted. And so then it came out cold, but not all at once, just one at a time. So Brendan got to eat first, and then I did, and then Tinley had to wait. Will was the last to eat. It was interesting. We had our server who was sweaty and tired because he was carrying all, like, half the side. It was interesting. You know, it was funny because as we laughed and enjoyed, the people on the inside, I guess they were annoyed by our laughter. And every time they'd hear us laugh, they closed the door. You know, we laughed so hard. We learned so much about each other in that moment. And though it wasn't the most picture-perfect Valentine's Day, we became more than just acquaintances. We became family for life over a blah meal and a very crowded restaurant. And the server kept saying, "I don't know how y'all are so patient with me. Thank you." And we're like, "Yeah, it's cool. It's fine." Was that evangelism? I don't know. But I do believe that so much of our conversations over a meal drew us closer as friends, and it sparked an interest in our server. When we are intentional about how we show up and we slow down and be present, we can experience more of God's grace. That's why I have titled my sermon, Shared Meals and Shared Lives, Living Out Acts chapter 2. You know, busy lives and schedules are more common than ever these days. Though the average adult lives longer than adults from the 1930s or the 40s or the 50s, our obligations and time commitments are 5 times greater. Finding ways to save time is at the forefront of nearly everyone's mind. So skipping family mealtimes or passing on dinner with coworkers or even choosing to have a working lunch might sound like the correct answer in the moments, but decades of research say differently. Eating a meal with others has social and long-term mental and emotional benefits that positively affect children and adults of all ages. You know, we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, that we see the early church exemplifying the essence of community through the simple yet profound act of breaking bread together. This passage reveals how sharing meals went beyond nourishment. It was a sacred practice that fostered unity, love, and spiritual growth. The early believers devoted themselves to fellowship, understanding that community is essential to their faith. When we think about fellowship, we often envision gatherings filled with laughter and stories and, of course, food. These moments create bonds that go deeper than surface-level relationships. In the Bible, we often see Jesus breaking bread with people. He would stop to eat with others because eating together was a big deal to Jesus. It's because it was a chance to deepen friendships, welcome strangers, and serve people experiencing poverty. You know, in our digitally connected world, we share a tremendous amount of information through texts, emails, Instagram DMs, tweets. However, because of a significant amount of communication is nonverbal, we spend a little time that we do have with verbal conversation. All or most of our conversation is through some virtual platform. So seeing someone's facial expression, hearing their voice, looking into their eyes is vital element to honest communication. We are busier than our grandparents or great-grandparents, depending on how old you are in this room. We are with great responsibilities, and we are constantly having to take control of our time. But how do we take control of our verbal communication and connect more with those in our lives? Now, ideally, sharing a meal would put us face-to-face with one another. In our modern world, where isolation has crept in, we must remember the importance of coming together and sharing our lives and supporting one another. And the most neutral and low maintenance way to achieve this is by eating together. You know, meal sharing is a spiritual act of unity, sharing our life and existence. You know, in 2019, I had the pleasure of going to Thailand where I met amazing people doing great work for God. One of the ministries I visited was a compound that a Thai woman working as a nurse built to care for those who had been cast out because they were living with HIV and AIDS. These individuals had no friends, had no family. And from the caregiver's experience from working at that local hospital, she felt the call to provide them with a space of community and love. You know, often these people would forget what it was like to do everyday things that those not living with the disease would do. And one of those was being able to break bread and have a meal with one another. So during my visit, the caregiver invited us to break bread in on the compound. You know, after eating lunch, we had these fruit called mangosteens. It's a fruit that in the beginning I didn't really like. But after a while, it grew on me. And this one elderly woman who's pictured here was a resident. And she saw me struggling to open up the mangosteen. And so she took it out of my hand and she began to peel it and she gave it to me. And so she would peel and I would eat the fruit. She'd peel again and I'd eat the fruit. Y'all, I ate about 15 of these mangosteens. And I ate them because my Southern courtesy kicked in and I didn't know how to tell this elderly woman I didn't want no more. So I just kept eating them as she peeled them. And it's funny because the nurse saw me eating and she's like, look, and she's like, wow, you're eating a lot. You like them? I said, I just don't know how to say I don't want anymore. And she's like, oh. So she translated and told the woman, and the woman began to laugh. Turns out she was actually tired of peeling the fruit. But she didn't know how to communicate to me to ask, do you still want more? So as she peeled, I ate. As I ate, she peeled. It was this interesting thing. And once she translated what was happening, we laughed so hard at our silly politeness. You know, as we gathered to leave, she hugged me as if she was truly my grandmother. And over a pound of mangosteens. It didn't matter that we didn't speak the same language, that we came from different cultures, or sadly didn't have the same medical diagnosis. The barriers were lifted, and all that was left was a spirit of unity and community. You know, Acts chapter 2 shows us that the act of breaking bread together is a rich significance because it symbolizes generosity, hospitality. This act was a profound expression of unity in Christ in the early church. And when we share a meal, no matter how simple or elaborate, we acknowledge that we are a part of something greater than ourselves. We come together as different individuals, yet in that moment, we become one family, united under God's grace. You know, imagine those early believers gathering in their homes, sharing those meals and experiencing the warmth of community. When we model this, we share the heart of Christ. We share it as we reflect in one another's existence. And at the heart of Christ is the joy of gathering as a community. You know, my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. But not the idea that was created to commemorate the fact that we are living on stolen land. Not that idea. I love Thanksgiving for the fact that I don't have to buy no gifts. I don't have to show up to people's houses. I can just simply enjoy God's favor of family and friends over a great meal. Now, for me, that meal consists of everything except for a turkey. Now, I don't like turkey. Well, I didn't like turkey. I know it's different, but I didn't like turkey until I got married and Will introduced me to fried turkey. Like, let me tell you, if y'all ain't had no fried turkey, y'all are not living, okay? Frying turkey was a staple in his family. And it wasn't just a staple because there was a tradition that came with it. See, every Thanksgiving Eve, him and all the men in the family would go over an uncle's house and they'd bring their fried turkeys and they'd sit outside and they would bond together over watching one turkey after another be fried like 3, 4, 5 hours. Now, when we moved to California and Will was looking for a community, he decided to bring that tradition here. So he would invite all the men in his circle, some believers, some were not, and they would have what he called a men's potluck, which really consisted of pizza and hot wings and chips and all types of unhealthy desserts and drinks.
He's bringing that here.
Yeah, okay, so we gonna see. Now, 1 year, they invited someone, and he brought a green bean casserole. Yeah, they knew instantly. Yeah, your wife gave you that, didn't she? It was quite funny. Now, I would respect the time that they would spend, so I would try not to be outside with them, mostly because, one, like I said, I wanted to respect their male bonding, but two, I had anxiety watching propane and hot grease and grass all come together in the same spot. I was like, are y'all okay? Okay, let me just go. But sometimes I would peek in and I would hear laughter and joy. I saw men building friendships that would last for years, sharing stories that connected to them to one another and even praying for each other. No matter their faith background, there was a place for each one of them. A tradition from Will's childhood made its way all the way to our new home to provide joy in community. You know, Acts 2:47 describes the early church as having glad and sincere hearts. Joy comes from sharing life, especially over a meal. Sitting around a table or a turkey fryer, we celebrate the food and relationships we have that nourish our spirits. We create spaces where joy abounds, laughter and gratitude fill the air, and everyone feels valued, seen, and loved. See, that type of environment is contagious and profoundly impacts a community's growth. You know, previously when I was a pastor of outreach and missions, I had the blessing of being a part of connecting and serving a local Title I school. And as a former K-12 educator, I found great joy in being able to do that. We provided lunch for teachers four times a year. And if you know a teacher, food is actually the key to their heart. We also supported the holiday breakfast boxes by collecting food to build boxes for the kids that didn't have food over the holiday. But one of the most memorable moments was when I took a chance and put on this, what I called an extravaganza, a complete community carnival and Easter egg hunt. Good old Southern way of celebrating Easter. And it included a barbecue lunch from a local restaurant. Now, this wouldn't have been special because there were egg hunts all over the community. There were all types of carnival fair-like things that happened. But the difference was ours was free. Every person couldn't believe that we were doing this for free. And it was so joyous to see teens eating the cake from the cakewalk, to see faces covered in chocolate, little faces covered in chocolate from egg hunts. Not to mention, I saw people from all backgrounds, all economic standards, all diversity, no matter what, tearing down on some barbecue sandwiches and ribs. Barbecue was slithered over one man who was a CEO of a company. I was like, ah, it's good, ain't it? Now, did the people visit after this event? Did they visit our church? Some did. After years of building connections with those teachers, did they begin to join our church? No, they didn't. After all that planning and serving and money spent to provide this extravagant event for the community, did anyone accept Jesus as Savior? I have no idea. But what I do know is that we sowed seeds that were planted through an Easter basket full of chocolate and a plate of barbecue. Every time I stepped on that campus, the kids would call me by name, no longer Harper's mom. The teachers seemed to trust me more, and they shared their personal lives with me. The parents saw me as one of them, not as someone a part of this distant church on a hill. Maybe we didn't explicitly share the gospel of Jesus, but I believe the seeds we planted told a story that there is still joy in the community, and that joy can actually be found in fellowship with Christians. I believe that those seeds that were sown impacted the growth of the community of humanity. You know, Acts 46 says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, Acts 2 concludes with a powerful statement. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The authentic community formed by the early church was magnetic. The love, the unity, the joy attracted others to Christ. Family, when we embody the spirit of community in our gatherings, we become living testimonies of God's love, drawing others closer to Him and sometimes to our church, but ultimately to the kingdom of God. As we reflect on the theme of intentional evangelism through eating, we must also consider the sacrament of the communion table, a practice deeply rooted in fellowship. Now, during my installation, you all blessed me with 5 gifts that not only blessed me, but drew me closer to our church and to Christ. Now, the one that tipped me over the edge and made my eyes sweat was that of the communion cup and bowl. I believe God was answering a prayer in the most surprising and sweet way. See, in my own prayer time, before receiving the gift, I'd had a conversation with a friend. And together we asked God to help rekindle the flame in partaking of His table. I didn't want it to become this act of repetition. I wanted it to be a part of who I was as it was when I first took communion. When the gift was given to me, in that moment I heard Christ do this in remembrance of me in a way I had not heard in a long time. Now, every time I look at the cup and the bowl, I actively remember Christ's sacrifice He made for me and His invitation to be in community with Him always. Family, communion isn't merely a ritual, but a profound expression of our unity with Christ and one another. We partake in the bread and the cup, and we're reminded of Jesus' sacrifice and the covenant we share as his body. Just as the early church broke bread in their homes, we gather around the table of the Lord, sharing in a sacred meal that transcends time and space. We are reminded that we are not alone, that we are a part of a larger community of believers, past and present. And no matter who we are or what we've done in our past or will ever do in our future, our VIP seats at the Lord's table are permanent. We can't lose our seat at the table. And the best part is, there's always room for more. There's nothing like going to a party and the host saying, yeah, come on, it's going to be plenty of food. Invite everybody. And then you get there and they out of food and drinks. It's like, well, why you invite me then if you ain't have no food? Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. You know, food bloggers often say that people eat with their eyes first before tasting. When food looks beautiful, appealing, and better than it tastes, you are compelled to taste it. Then when the flavors live up to the visual appeal, you don't just want more, you want more people to taste it. Family, taste and see that the Lord is good. What is good? His mercy, God's love, God's faithfulness. Taste and see that God's peace is good. God's forgiveness is good. God's healing is good. I can't hear nobody up in here. Family, eating at the table of Christ is 1 million times better than any 5-star Michelin restaurant. And we aren't receiving these petty 4 portions of Christ. No, the table of Christ is overflowing with more than we could ever consume. The more people that come to the table, the more of Christ that will be poured out. No one sets a better banquet table than the Lord. Communion invites us to reflect on our relationships, not only with God, but with one another. You know, in a world where we are growing more and more divided and isolated, one tangible and compelling and attractive distinctive of the church should be our authentic relationships and a loving community. Family, I know that the thought of being evangelistic can seem odd for some, foreign to others, and yet we are called to live out the great commandment, to be evangelistic. To evangelize simply means to share what is good. The good news is that you are invited to the best table in town. There's no dress code. There's no cover charge. You can bring as many people as you want because there's more food to go around. The question is, do we believe that the gospel of Jesus is still good news? Do we still believe that when we taste and see God, that it is still good? There is a call for us to live out loud what is good. Now, to do that, there is no one size fits all. You have to do it in a way that fits who you are and who God has called you to be. We are called to live out the great commandment in the way that God has designed us to do. But the one most neutral way to do that is by simply sharing a meal. I'm going to invite JJ back up. You know, as it is customary to do at CWOW, we have the privilege of eating at the great banquet table of the Lord every week. And as we prepare for the sacrament of communion today, I'm going to invite you to do this with gladness in your heart, with sincerity and authentic remembrance of who Christ is to you. Acknowledging that the grace that binds us together is in all of us. I encourage you to sit with the thought of what does it mean to have a VIP seat at God's table? What does it mean to welcome all who are able, who believe, to take part in the table of Christ? How can we renew and deepen our sense of community, strengthen our bonds, and encourage one another to share the love of Christ with those around us by simply sharing a meal? You know, as we move into musical worship, I invite you to recommit to embracing the power of eating as a community. Let us prioritize gatherings that reflect God's love and grace, fostering connections that nourish our spirits, our souls, and our tummies in a way that will then intrigue the hearts of our neighbor. And as we partake in communion today, may we be reminded of the ultimate act of sharing, the body and the blood of Christ. May we live out loud as we share meals and our lives together. Amen. Let us worship.